stand to your feet if you would, and I want you to read this scripture on the screen. I want to talk to you tonight about keeping your heart. Keeping your heart. Notice this scripture, if you would, from Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. Let's read it out loud together, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Think about that. Say it again. Read it again. Keep thy
heart with all diligence.
Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life. Your heart is a reservoir, and out of it comes all the issues of life. John Flavel, the Puritan, wrote a book called Keeping Your Heart. And he said this. He said, before regeneration, a man's heart is his worst part. But after regeneration, his heart is his best part. He went on to say this. The greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God. And after conversion, the greatest difficulty is to keep the heart with God. The heart is the center of man's being. It's the seat of his principles. It's the foundations for his actions. And what we need in the United States of America is a heart theology. So I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 in light of maintaining our love for God. I want you to bow your head. Let's ask God to come and talk to us one more time. Just cry out to the Lord, giving God permission to speak to you. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, these men have come. We didn't come here to be entertained. We didn't come here to win a raffle. We didn't come here to play golf. We came here to meet with you. And Father, we ask tonight that you would take your spirit, open your word, open our hearts. Give us a word from heaven tonight about keeping our hearts with all diligence. With anticipation, we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. All God's men say it. You can be seated. I want to give you three simple points tonight. The first is the meaning of the heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, what is it talking about? It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life, the issues of life. The heart is the citadel of man. It's the citadel. It's the headquarters for his most meaningful treasure. Your heart is the seat of your personhood. It's your innermost being. It's the control center for your life. You know, the physical heart is the central organ of the body. And our physical health depends upon it. And this inner man, the heart, is the center of our moral consciousness. And our moral health depends upon the state of our heart. Now, the Bible gives us a command here to keep our hearts, telling us that this is the priority. Because what happens within us is always more important than what happens around us. What happens within us is far more important than anything that could happen around us. And the Bible talks about being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the heart. Now, the heart is the soul of a person. It's the seat of affections. And it consists of the mind, will, emotions, and the conscience. You know, most people think about the heart in North America. Virginia is for what? Virginia is for lovers. They think about emotion. Well, it is emotion, but it's the mind and the will. Now, your mind determines what you think about. Your will determines your choices. And your emotions govern how you feel about things. Your conscience determines your moral standing. So as we think about the heart, we're thinking about our thinking, our desiring, our feeling, and all of that yields our behavior. Now there's an obligation, according to this verse right here, to keep your heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That's your emotion. And the Bible says all the servants, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, has to do with the will, the mind, emotions, and the will. Now listen, the attitude of your heart matters more than the circumstances of your life. And I know some of you going through deep waters. I don't know anybody trying to serve God that's not going through some sort of a situation. And the health of your inner core impacts all of life. The heart of the matter is always the matter of the heart. It's the control center for your thoughts. I mean, it controls your thoughts, your desires, your decisions, your ambitions, your plans. There's over 1,000 references in the Bible to the heart of man. What a dominant theme. How important this is. And the Bible talks about a merry heart. Aren't you glad for that? You know, some of the Baptists need to memorize that text right there. It talks about a merry heart. It talks about a tender heart. Well, it talks about a new heart, a bitter heart, a cold heart, a hard heart, an evil heart of unbelief, and how easy it is to develop a troubled heart. Oh, dear people, tonight, keep your heart, because it's so easy to have a disturbed heart, an agitated heart, a distracted heart, a deceived heart, a divided heart, a defiled heart, a depraved heart, a defiant heart, and a doubting heart. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the most important thing about you and the most important thing about me is the condition of your heart. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And brethren, by our fruits we can know ourselves. If the heart is pure, the life is pure. If the heart is corrupt, the life will be corrupt. Keep your heart with all vigilance, all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Notice second from our text, the manifestation of the heart. Not only the meaning, but the manifestation of the heart. The Bible says here, keep your heart with all vigilance. Because out of it flow the springs of life. Now why is keeping the heart so important? Because the heart is the wellspring of life. From it flow all the issues of life. And I'm telling you, it's important to keep your heart because the things that come out of your heart affect both time and eternity. Jesus said this, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile the man. I mean, Jesus nailed it. He said it's out of our hearts that these things will come. And your heart is a manifestation, your life is a manifestation of what is in your heart. Now, your heart is a spring. It's like an artesian. It's all the time overflowing something. And listen, when evil is entertained in the heart, evil will show up in the life somewhere along the line. When evil is permitted in the heart, it spills over into the life. Our actions are a manifestation of what's going on in our deepest soul. Your heart is like a reservoir which can flood. It can get out of bounds really quick. That's why the Bible says keep your heart with all diligence. Listen, you got to deal with the headwaters instead of downstream. You got to go to the source. You got to go to the root and not the fruit. And you must head heart trouble off at the fountainhead. You got to oversee your heart constantly. You know, when the pond is full, you know what happens? It overflows out of the spillway. I grew up in Southside, Virginia, on a tobacco farm. We used to go fishing in Irvin Wilson's pond. And if we had a big storm and they had a spillway, when the little pipe wouldn't hold it, which they always get stopped up. So we had a little spillway. And my cousins and I, we would go skinny dipping in the creek downstream from the pond. Now listen, I'm just telling you, we had cows doing things in the creek, all right? we were barefooted, and we had some immunity back then because we were exposed to some filth. Is anybody with me on that right there? And artificial immunity will never replace natural immunity. Go ahead and give a shout in the house of God on that point right there. But anyway, we'd go down to this creek, man. And we go skinny dipping, and we get in the water, that filthy, filthy, filthy water. And we'd be in there like frogmen, you know, just kind of looking around, swallowing all that junk. Well, we went down there one time, and man, there was some largemouth bass in that little swimming hole. Because they came over the spillway. They flowed out of the pond. And they had these giant bass down there, man, and we thought that was really, really something. But you know, everything in your life today came out of your heart. Men, unforgiveness is a heart issue. There's no excuse for unforgiveness. I don't care what anybody did. Bitterness is a heart issue. Addiction is a heart issue. Evil thoughts are a heart issue. Hatred is a heart issue. Self-centeredness is a heart issue. Pride is a heart issue. Our heart determines our actions. And everything flowing out from you came directly from your heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed all of this stuff. Now, the natural heart, your old heart, it's a fountain of poison. But you listen to me tonight, a purified heart is a well of living water, and you got to study the stream to discern the source. We need to be living out of our new heart, not out of our flesh. Now, the things people see in your conduct have originated from deep down within, from that source, that fountain, that well. And your heart will either manifest grace or garbage. Our hearts either manifest godliness or ungodliness. Because the heart is the dynamic core of your personal life. Your thoughts, your choices, and your feelings flow from your heart. It's like a mighty, mighty river. You know, up in Canada, when an oil tanker runs ashore, they have an oil spill and tremendous contamination and destruction. And you know, when the heart is polluted, our life will be disordered. It becomes dirty. It becomes destructive. That's why David had to pray after his colossal failure, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Your heart defines you. My heart defines me. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, my brothers, tonight, we know this, but listen to me. Your heart cannot survive under its own strength, its own wisdom, and its own resources. We need God to fulfill his will on earth as it is in heaven. We got to feed our hearts with the truth of the Word of God. We got to yield moment by moment to the control of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of people that's robbing the supernatural. I know we got a bunch of wildfire going on, but most of our churches, they ain't an ounce of fire going on. And I'm here to tell you, we need the Holy Ghost in 2023 if anything is going to happen of eternal significance. I mean, listen, you got to let your heart be filled with praise all the day long. And that means if you don't feel like praying, pray anyhow. Last fall, I felt impressed to get me a prayer shed. I'm so distracted. I don't need anybody or anything to distract me. I distract myself. And I felt like I need to get a prayer shed. So I went and bought me a 10 by 16, one of these Amish shed jobs. Got that thing down behind the house, overlooking a valley, overlooking a field. And I determined by the grace of God, Lord willing, Lord helping me, I need to get in that place at least an hour a day. I need to be quiet. I need to be quiet. I need to sit down. I need to listen. I need to worship. I need to read. And I need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise, and come before the Lord with singing. And that's my intention to do that. I really need this because the Bible says you got to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life, the manifestation of the heart. But here's the message, managing your heart. This is what we want to get down to. Keep your heart with all diligence, managing the heart. You know, God charged Adam to manage the Garden of Eden. And God charges us to manage our own hearts. You got to take the oversight of your own inner core. You and I are obligated to keep, to oversee our own hearts. Keep your heart with all vigilance. The word keep means to oversee. It means to manage. It means to protect. It means to cultivate. In other words, manage your heart with alertness. Guard your heart. Monitor your heart. Maintain your heart. It's a full-time job. Literally, keep your heart above all keeping. Keep your heart. Godly men are aware of the condition of their heart. Stephen, I need a cell phone. Now, you say, well, Brother Harold, I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I like this right here. Listen to this. A mistake is a tribute to the man who quit talking long enough to try and do something. A mistake is a tribute to a man who quit talking long enough to try to accomplish something. Now listen to me. We got tons of mistakes, but listen to me. Past mistakes can be forgiven, and past mistakes can be cleansed. And it's high time some of us quit walking under a cloud of condemnation because some of the junk that we did in the past. Because if God has put your past behind Him, it's high time you put it behind you. Now listen to me. Masculine men are not passive. They're not plain vanilla. Listen to me. Masculine men are not womanly. They're not effeminate. They're not wimpy. They assume responsibility for their own wives. I said their own wives, for their own children. They assume responsibility for their own future. They assume responsibility for their own hearts. And above all things, brethren, guard your heart. Post a sentry. Pay attention. Stay alert. Because whatever you mismanage, you're going to lose it. Whatever you mismanage, you're going to lose. You mismanage your retirement, you can lose it. You mismanage your health, you'll lose it. You mismanage your marriage, you're likely to lose it. Mismanage your children, you'll probably lose them. Mismanage your ministry, you'll lose it. Mismanage your soul, you will lose it. When you mismanage your heart, it's because of a worship disorder that leads to a spiritual crisis. And most crises are the result of mismanagement. Now, the only answer for a mismanaged heart is a spiritual solution. That's why the Bible talks about a new heart, Ezekiel chapter 36. That's not about being born again. The answer is a spiritual solution, a clean heart. Confess your sins, get them under the blood. A renewed heart, refreshed, and a merry heart doing good just like a medicine. And you know, brethren, to manage your heart means you've got to evaluate your heart. You got to take an inventory. You got to take stock. You got to pay attention. Now, you got to make adjustments. Hezekiah had a proud heart, and he humbled himself. David had a divided heart, so he prayed, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Peter had a fearful heart. He went out and denied the Lord, and then he went out and wept bitterly. Pay attention to your heart. Nothing's more important tonight than your heart. The prayer advance is not about hard preaching. It's about heart preaching. We want everything directed to the heart. Of course, we want truth in the mind, but we've got to have something for the heart. Isaiah 59:16. God was amazed. He looked around back then and he wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered, how can things be in this state of affairs and nobody has a burden of God on them? How is it the average Baptist prayer meeting and other prayer meetings as well in the United States have no agony, have no burden, have no compulsion, have no deep burden of God? You know, the Bible says He'll pour out a spirit of grace and supplications upon the house of Israel, and they'll mourn on Him when whom they have pierced. Listen, friend, we're talking about a burden of a prayer burden. We're talking about getting in the flow of God to where God can transfer His desires and His burdens to our hearts. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. If you sit around waiting for some fatalistic zap instead of doing what God told you, you'll be as dead as 4 o'clock. And I'm telling you, God said, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Now, God's looking for men who will stir themselves. That means to rekindle the gift. That means to fan in the flame the gift that God has put in the soul. Oh, brethren, tonight, God knows our innermost thoughts. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our motives tonight. God knows everything. He sees our hearts. And for the next 2 days, God's going to deal with our hearts. And it's up to us how we respond. I say the prayer advance is a heart event. It's a heart event. Your new heart is your most valuable asset. And dear brother, it requires constant maintenance and readjustment. Heard about this musician, a violin player. Somehow or another, he had access to a Stradivarius violin. had access. Anytime he wanted it, he could go play it. That Stradivarius, as all of them apparently, are worth millions and millions of dollars. Yet every time he played, before he played it, he had to retune it. And our heart is like a musical instrument that gets out of tune and requires frequent retuning. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. I want to give you four areas tonight on heart management. Four things we got to do to guard our hearts. And then verse 24. Open up your Bible there to Proverbs 4, verse 24. It might be on the screen. Notice what it says here. We got to guard our words. If we're going to manage our hearts, we have to guard our words. Verse 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, that's crooked speech, and perverse lips put far from thee. What's inside of you flows out of you. Say that out loud. What's inside of you flows out of you. This is Roanoke, Virginia. We got the headwaters of the Roanoke River right here. The Roanoke River flows into Smith Mountain Lake, which flows into Leesville Lake, which flows into Bugs Island Lake, which flows into Gaston Lake, and finally winds up in the ocean. There's water flowing constantly from the headwaters here in Roanoke. And the heart is a reservoir. And from the heart are flowing these springs, and our words are the overflow of our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me give you some tough words from the living word about our words. Some tough words from the living word about our words. Notice this one in James chapter 3. So the tongue is a what? A fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Set it on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Pretty serious. A satanically influenced tongue. Set on fire of hell. Somebody called the tongue the little red devil. J. Harold Smith said the tongue was so hot, set on fire of hell, that God had to place it in a wet solution, because if it didn't, it would burn our heads off. Ralph Satura said the tongue is in a wet place and it's easy for it to slip. And isn't that the truth? Now listen, look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Listen to this. Therewith bless we God. Listen to this. Blessing God the Father, and therewith we curse men created in the similitude of God. A schizophrenic tongue. Think about this. Blessing God, one breath. Cursing men, the next breath. Singing hymns, one breath. Cursing people, the next breath. Let me just say this. Spirit-filled men don't curse. And if your salvation didn't clean up your mouth, you better check up and see if you got anything. Before I was saved, I could have written a profanity dictionary by age 6. I grew up with taking God's name in vain and using all kinds of terrible language and calling people all kinds of stuff. I just grew up with this kind of stuff. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a teenager, went to a Christian film at a high school and heard the gospel, placed my faith in Christ. And I used to love to fish on the Stanton River. That's between Smith Mountain Lake and Bugs Island Lake. I used to go off in the spring for striped bass. Love to catch these bass, man. I'd drive my father's 1950 Chevrolet pickup down there. I looked like Jed Clampett. I'd go down the bank. I'd haul out stripers as long as my leg, and I got a pretty long leg. It was great. I was down there one day, Brother Mark, and I was casting for these fish, and there was this stream, and I wanted to get across the stream, so rather than go around, I figured I'll just leap over this thing, no worries. And, man, I took a flying leap, but I didn't make it. In the middle of that stream, I was up to here in ice-cold, muddy water. And before I knew it, out of my mouth, before I knew it, I took God's name in vain. I was smitten. I didn't try to get out. I didn't even move. I bowed my head and I said, dear God, I am so sorry for taking your name in a light, frivolous, useless, vain way. God, please forgive me. And from that day to this, as far as I know, I've never verbally taken God's name in vain. For thou shalt not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Oh, brethren, listen to me. Listen to me. Swearing and cursing come out of an evil heart. What's been coming out of your mouth? Profanity. And I wouldn't give a plug nickel for a preacher that uses profanity. And I wouldn't give a plug nickel for Andy Stanley and his declaration of the new morality. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for taking God's name in vain by blaspheming in these kind of ways. I wouldn't do it. What's coming out of my mouth? Well, I get upset. I feel like saying stuff. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's the way you say it. Taking God's name in vain. What about jokes? Down-talking others, down-talking self, or gracious words, kind words. You know, I'm at a point in my life where rich people and powerful people don't impress me, but kind people, they impress me. Kind words, faith-filled words. Oh, listen to some more tough words from the living word about our words. Listen to this. Matthew 12, O generation of vipers. How even Jesus would go over at the average pastor's meeting? How do you think he'd go over? Generation of vipers, serpents. How can you be an evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's coming out of our mouth originated down in our hearts. Our words are the index of our soul. You know what Jesus said? Every idle word that men shall speak. Oh, this is sobering. Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Daniel Webster said this, the most sobering thought I've ever had is that of my personal accountability to God. The Bible says right here, put away from you a wicked mouth and devious lips put far from you. You've got to monitor your heart by guarding your words. Look at the next verse, verse 25. We got to guard our watching. We have to manage our heart by guarding our watching. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on and your eyelids look straight before you. Let your eyes look right on. Listen to this. And your eyelids look straight before you. Not this way, not that way. Just straight ahead. Lot's wife looked back and got turned into a pillar of salt. David looked at Bathsheba for quite a while, I suppose. He wound up involved in adultery. We better keep our gaze on the prize. Let your eyes look right on. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, mine eye affects my heart. What I see affects my soul. What you see impacts your heart. What you allow visually is vital to the health of your heart. You got to pay attention to your focus. Jesus said, the eye is the light of the body. Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth before the flood. He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What are we seeing now? The wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked down in that bunch and all he could see, every thought, everything coming out of their souls was evil continually. They were evil through and through. In 1982, Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton produced a movie called The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And I'm here to tell you, the biggest little whorehouse in the world is in your pocket. The biggest little whorehouse in the world is our cell phone. You got whores available 24/7, and that's what they are. They're whores. Ain't nobody dressed this up. The internet is the biggest brothel on the planet. And I personally believe back then, and I believe it now, the internet has completed the sodomization of American culture. You know, the biggest little whorehouse is with us all the time, is it not? A porn-addicted nation. A porn-addicted church. A porn-addicted men. Brother, Jesus said, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already. Already. Doesn't have to be a physical thing. He's done it in his heart. Now, brethren, this is a battle, is it not? Let's be candid. I think we need a little straight talk in the house of God. All men wrestle with immoral thoughts. Scores are in bondage to lust. A 72-year-old man came up to me one day and he said, Harold, I've never told this to anybody before, but there's one sin that I just can't get victory over. 72 years old. Let me plead with you tonight. Listen to me tonight. We don't want to die dirty old men. I don't want to die a dirty old man. I really don't. You say you got stuff coming in your mind all the time. I can take you back to the first grade when those boys brought in those magazines. I can still see them. Isn't that amazing? I can't remember the Bible I tried to memorize, but boy, I can remember that. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, you listen to me for a little bit right here. If you're in bondage to lust, it's time to do something about it. We're a generation of dopamine addicts. Happy drugs, man. Dopamine addicts. If it tastes good, I'll eat it. If it feels good, I'll do it. And if it looks good, I'll gaze at it. Brother, if you're in bondage to lust tonight, you got to flee the darkness and you got to run. You got to run. You got to run to the light. And there's help in this meeting tonight for all who want deliverance. Can I just be candid with you tonight? You're not the only borderline pervert in the house tonight. It's coming out of our hearts. But God can help us. I'm not here to blast anybody. It's a battle, man. It's absolutely real. And the fact of the nature is men are visually stimulated. That's the way we remain. Women are aroused by touch. Men are aroused by sight. And listen, the battle with lust is a fight to the finish. I used to think, man, if I ever got married, I wouldn't have no more problems. Then I thought, if I ever turn 30, I'm surely going to have the victory by now. If I ever get to 40, surely the testosterone will die down a little bit. And by the time I'm 50, now I'm in the fourth quarter. And can I just say something to you? It's a fight to the finish. But thank God it's a winnable war, as we heard last year here in this place. Every man's battle can be every man's victory, said Ken Varney. That's the truth. We're all in the same boat tonight. Would you go along with that this evening? Can we have a little vulnerability in the house of God here this evening? Men are visually aroused. You got to guard your watching. And I want to tell you, managing your heart requires preventative maintenance. Old Job, man, he was some character. He feared God and hated evil. Yet the Bible tells us he had to look ahead and see potential snares. And the Bible tells us about Job, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Man, I made a covenant. Why should I think upon a maid? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 19, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Listen, in Proverbs chapter 6, I think it is, talks about a strange woman. And it says, lust not after her beauty in your heart. Strange women, they're everywhere. You know something that we found to be a help, some of us, We got something called a 10-day covenant. A 10-day covenant. A friend of mine called me up one day. Said, Brother Harold, you're struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Let's make a 10-day covenant. And for 10 days, we're going to make a covenant with God and with one another. We will not intentionally, deliberately, on purpose, presumptuously commit that sin. 10 days. I said, I'm in. And brother, I'll tell you what, I've been in 10-day covenants for I don't know how long. And I want to tell you something tonight, sir. You better find yourself a confidant, a confidant, somebody that loves God, somebody that understands, somebody that can help you. And brother, I'm just telling you, listen, we got to eliminate the stuff we can't handle. And if you can't handle the internet, get rid of it. If you can't handle your phone, get you a tin can and a piece of wire or something, man. If you can't handle the television, get rid of it. I'm serious. How many know we better be guarding our watching? We better be guarding our words. But if we're going to manage our heart, we got to guard our ways. Look in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let your ways be established. Your ways, your patterns. Scrutinize your thoughts carefully because they determine the patterns of your life. Now, what does this mean? You got to weigh out the tracks of your feet and the course of your life will be established. You got to ponder your path. Think about your steps before you take them. Think about what you get involved in. Think about who you associate with. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. Listen to this. For a good tree brings forth doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men don't gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. Good fruit, the result of a good root. Bad fruit, result of a bad root. What are the roots of sin? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the roots from which this fruit comes from. Now listen, where there's bad fruit, there's a bad root. Anybody like J.C. Ryle? That's about the only Anglican I like. That guy, he had something going, man. You know what he said? He said this. He said where there is bad fruit, he said where there's no holy living, there's no Holy Ghost. You know, we've grown up in a culture where, well, you know, it's not so bad. You know, you just need a little therapy. No, we need some repentance. Somebody said the worse a man is, the less he knows it. We got to deal with the roots. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We all know that good works are the result of salvation and not the cause of it. But we're saved unto good works. And listen, good works are a manifestation of our ways. And our ways are a manifestation of our hearts. Words, watching, will determine our ways. You've got to guard your ways. But finally, if we're going to manage our hearts, we've got to guard our walk. We've got to guard our walk. Look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your foot from evil. Don't turn this way. Don't turn that way. Man, withdraw your foot from evil. Now, you know, Jesus, he espoused spiritual violence. He talked about radical amputation. If your hand offends you, do what? Cut it off. Man, if your eye offends you, do what? Whoa, pretty radical here. Getting serious about this thing here. Now listen, you got to put off and put on. Put off the former ways. Put on the new man created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, be sure your steps line up with the known will of God. You got to ponder your path. You got to guard your walking. One man said, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that's the truth. Now God has called you and I tonight to a holy walk here in the United States of America, where we got apostasy coming out of our ears. Listen to me. If the Antichrist is paying attention, he knows that the American public and the world will fall for anything. If he's paying any attention, I know he can just pounce on it right now and everybody go along with it. But anyhow, God's called us to a holy walk. And you know what that means? A narrow road, a chosen road, a straight path, a secure path. Jesus said, enter the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Brethren, the direction we're walking is going to take us to our destination. And Jesus said, the broad road leads to destruction. You know what we need? We need a little old-time holiness preaching in the evangelical churches of America. And I ain't talking about externalism here. I'm talking about hard stuff. Now listen, the narrow road leads to life. You got to guard your walk. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now we're either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the spirit. And isn't it amazing tonight how quickly our hearts can become distracted, disordered, disturbed, and defiled. That's why the Bible says, let the peace of God referee in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Pay attention to the disturbances in your spirit. When you lose your peace, more than likely a foul has been committed. And when you lose your peace, drop everything and manage your heart. Now, brother, if you sense any conviction tonight, pay attention. And do everything you need to do to get clear with God in the here and now. We're talking about managing our hearts, our words, Ron, our watching, our ways, and our walk. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, our hearts don't have to be full of all that junk. We are not, and I just know this, I just most conservative churches, they hardly ever talk about the divine nature that's been implanted. Most of the talk is about how depraved our old hearts are. Well, our whole hearts are depraved. You couldn't tell how bad they were. But if you're born again, you are not your old heart. You have the divine nature planted in you. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're adopted. You're accepted. You're a child of the living God. Yeah, you got the flesh to contend with, but glory be to God, we got a power in us that's greater than him that is in the world. How many think our hearts could spring forth with love? How about a little joy? Boy, I like that. How about a little peace? Boy, that's wonderful, isn't it? Well, what about a little praise? What about some compassion? So what about some tenderness? We got to tend our hearts. We got to pay attention to our hearts. We got to manage our hearts. We have to look after our hearts. You say, well, how do you manage your heart? Well, I'm going to give you five thoughts, and then we're going to go to prayer. Number one, you got to give God an open-ended invitation. Give God an open-ended invitation. What does that mean? Give God permission to deal with you. Search me, O God. That's what the psalmist said. He invited God to come and do an evaluation. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Give God that kind of an invitation. Oh, I'll tell you what. Listen to me, brethren. We don't want to wait till we show up at the judgment seat of Christ to do some evaluation. I'm telling you, it's time to give God an open-ended invitation. God, anything that's unlike you, my heart is an open book. God, you just come on down and sort me out. Amen. Number two, own your sin. Own your sin. You know what David said after he had that moral failure? He said, I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge them. My sin is ever before me. You know, it's a pretty liberating thing when you finally get the courage and the character to tell the truth to God, to yourself, and to your trusted friend. David didn't hide his sins. He owned his sin. And here's a solemn thought. Every one of us has a moral character. And from that moral character flow the issues in our life. There's no way to dress this up. There's no way to overlook it. And the biblical way to deal with this is to deal with sin. No excuses, no self-justification, but taking responsibility for our own hearts. Own your sin. Number three, confess your sins. Anybody remember the mourner's bench? That wasn't all bad. Listen to this. He that covers his sins, conceals, hides his sins, shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Look, we all have besetting sins. Can we agree with that tonight? Yours might be different from mine, but you got some. And they're all bad. But listen, confess sin, forsake sin, and find mercy. We all become candidates for the mercy of God the moment we turn from our sins. And I want to say this. It's not enough to be sorry for sin. We need to stop it by the grace of God, access the power of the Holy Spirit for repentance. Number four, obey God's instructions. You know why I go to my trailer or that little shed I told you about? You know why I go to that? I need to hear from God. I mean, God spoke to people throughout the Bible. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us by His Spirit. Do a thorough job of repenting. Clear your conscience. Oh, dear brother, put things right whenever they go wrong. Obey the speaking voice of God. This is not a condemning message. This is a liberating message. To get into the light as He is in the light. And when we're in the light as He's in the light, the dark places show up. And we run right off to the fountain filled with blood to get cleansed and ask for God for an infilling and a replacement. We put off, and then we've got to put on. We've got to put on the new man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And number five, when we're managing our heart, we got to yield our hearts. We got to yield our hearts to God. You know what Solomon? You know what he said? Or David said to Solomon, my son, or Solomon said to his son, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Listen to this. And God is asking for our heart tonight. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. And seal it for your courts above. There's no man on the planet through determination and self-will can live a holy, righteous life. Brother, apart from the living Christ having the preeminence in our own souls, I will never make it, but we can have the strength of His might in the inner man, brother, to overcome our besetting sin, because the resurrection life of Christ is ours for the taking. You say, well, is it going to eliminate the fight? It will not eliminate the fight. Victory is not the elimination of temptation. But it's power in the middle of the temptation to do the right thing. And He's given us resources and weapons, mighty through God, to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Brother, let's give God total honesty. How about it? Total obedience. Let's give God our hearts and His rightful place in our souls, because the Bible challenges us, manage your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life. How many know what it is to get sidetracked in your Christian walk? Take some detours, run into some dry holes and some dead ends, and make some poor choices. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? I'm here to tell you tonight that the way of the cross leads home. And you might be a million miles from God, but you're only one step away from Calvary at any given time, because when we stop covering our sin and start confessing them and forsaking them, God gives us mercy. And I'm telling you, God wants to help every man in this house tonight to have a clean, pure heart before God. It's going to be a battle, but brother, we're a band of brothers, hallelujah. We can make it. We got the Word of God. We got the Spirit of God. We got the Spirit of Christ. We got a new nature. We got a new heart. And we have powerful weapons. I believe by the grace of God, we can make it. Don't you believe that? So we're going to have to manage our hearts. No matter how long we live, we're going to have to manage. We're going to have to look after our words, look after our watching, look after our ways, and look after our walking. And God can help us to manage our hearts appropriately and live the Christ life which He's made available to us. Stand to your feet and bow your heads if you would, please. I believe this message is a setup for the prayer time tonight. Every man ought to be in a group. Your group leader, see your group leader. Huddle up if you're here individually. You need to team up with somebody's group. I just encourage you to do that. And let's deal with our hearts tonight before the Lord in our prayer times this evening. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Out of it are the issues of life. Out of it flow the springs of life. How many would say here tonight, Brother Harold, God's talking to me about the condition of my heart, and there's some steps of obedience I need to take this evening. How many would say, hey, God's talking to my heart about something specific. Remember me in prayer. Put your hand up way high all over the house, all over the auditorium. All right, God's talking to us tonight. Now it's up to us to respond properly. Let's be thorough. Let's be thorough in this matter tonight and get our hearts clear and clean in the sight of God. God can help us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for talking to us about our hearts. And Lord, we wouldn't be at a prayer advance if we didn't want to walk with you. So Lord, we want to walk with you. Lord, you know that. And Lord, you know all of the battles within and without, all the stuff that's going on, and all of the distractions. Oh God, tonight, Lord, would you just make the prayer time tonight one of the most meaningful things in the lives of some of these men here tonight. Father, may there be a thorough cleansing, a thorough humbling, a cleansing through the blood, and a thorough filling of the Spirit. Lord, tonight, let this be a night of victory for many, many hearts.